Okay, we are back here at WDXC 90.7, and I have two guests on the show this morning at the 10 o'clock hour. I'm going to have Sylvia Hasenkopf, who's going to be talking about her subject in a brief moment. We're going to be talking about militia and all fun things like that. But I have a very special guest. You know him, you love him, you can't live without him, Mr. Matt Boer. Thank you, Matt. Thank you for showing up.
Thanks, Petey Pete. Nice to be back on your radio show.
Thank you. Thank you. But Matt is here because Matt has a very special event going on. Matt is going to be putting on a couple lectures here in the library and also in Palenville. But he's done some research and I believe is doing some writing about the famed Rip Van Winkle tale that will be turning 200 this June, as well as talking about the Washington Irving and the Great Manitou Transmission of 1818. Now, I don't want to sound naive or not knowing, but there is a lot of that I do not know about, and I wish you would inform me, which entail will inform the inform the listening audience too. So if you could just maybe give me a little update on that, Matt, and what you're up to and what this is all about.
So, yeah, I was really happy to find out that the tale of Rip Van Winkle was written in a burst of inspiration one night in June while Washington Irving was staying with his sister in Birmingham, England. But he was kind of having writer's block, and he went over there to try to save his family's fortune from going bankrupt. That failed, kind of having a hard time. And they were reminiscing. Van Wart was his sister's husband. They were reminiscing about Tarrytown, and all of a sudden he went into his room that night and through the course of a night wrote the Rip Van Winkle tale and came out in the morning victorious and shared it with his sister and brother-in-law. But something I discovered when I was researching my Stonewall book, Talking Walls, was that there was a postscript on this tale. And the postscript a lot of times gets edited out, but it's all about the sacred concept of Manitou, which is the Great Spirit. A lot of people would be familiar that the Native people called the eastern wall of the Catskill Mountains the Wall of Manitou, and that is a spirit that permeates through, you know, everything. It's like the Great Spirit. You know, some people would know that. But the tale is talks about that, and there's a place in the Catskill Mountains where there's a great rock, and it's the most sacred spot. And the Native people, whether they're pursuing their game or not, would never, you know, once the animal goes into this location, they would, you know, it's too reverential. They would, you know, let the animal go. But one time, an outsider slash European goes up there and finds all these gourds in the crutches of trees and decides to make off with these objects. And it slips from his fingers. He falls. The Catterskill Creek rises up and just sweeps them away and smashes them to bits. So this is all done in a couple of paragraphs. It also brings up the great Spider Woman, who is the Earth Mother, according to the Hopi and other things. So it's this very... he's very informed about a lot of these Native spiritual beliefs. So I was really kind of taken aback by that there's this underlying theft of sacred water and retribution and, you know, the cosmic order of things. So I kind of got into that. So I wouldn't think you would know about the Great Transmission, Manitou Transmission of 1818, because that's the name of my lecture, because I was trying to get to the bottom of where did all this information come from Washington Irving? How did he come to write that? Why is the postscript always left out? He's very specific about the creeks and the rivers and when would he have gotten that information, and trying to really break it down and figure it out. So, that will be a lot what the talk's about. It's also a workshop, so we'll be kind of envisioning maybe what Rip Van Winkle was doing in those 20 years' time, because, you know, he's lying on the earth and the roots are starting to grow over him. And a lot of times, I mean, the story, it's just he falls asleep, he wakes up, and then you don't know he's slept for 20 years. But I think Arthur Rackham really delves with that material well. I mean, if you're familiar, he's one of the greatest British illustrators, and his version of the book, it's really the little people people have put them into the deep sleep up at the Garden Rock, up at the sacred spot where the water spirits are very concerned because he's in the state of deep sleep and you know, maybe because the water is being stolen and maybe it's an analogy for, you know, if we're all in a deep state of sleep, bad things can happen to us.
Wow. Well, okay. That was pretty fulfilling and pretty, pretty deep with that, Matt. In your speeches that your lectures, you will be getting into more detail, like you said, about why the meaning of the rivers and the meaning of the sleep and so forth and so on. What kind of brought you to this point, though, as far as what led you down this path?
Well, like I was saying, I was researching the books called Talking Walls, Casting Out the Post-Contact Stonewall Building Myth. And I guess when I first moved up to Catskill, I, to myself, always wanted to see remnants of people who lived on the land before me, you know, thinking I would maybe find an arrowhead or something. And slowly over the course of the 10 years, when I found these large built cairns, these stone-like structures, it sent me on a 5-year research project that turned into this book. But I realized that I was walking past, you know, these monuments that people had built in the past. And the book basically, you know, looks at what is the evidence that the 252,000 miles of stone walls that they counted in 1871 was built by the Europeans. Well, there is very little primary sources to support that, but there's huge, massive primary sources of observation of native people working with the stone, despite this myth that they were trotting lightly on the earth and that they left there, you know, that we came, it's called the Prestine Myth. We came, it was a complete wilderness, and therefore everything that is built was done by the Europeans post-contact. So that became, I mean, in this story, well, you know, these things that are like right before my eyes and that I was walking past every day. And then once I was able to tune in, did I actually see what's going on? But since then, I've, you know, in my scanning Google Earth, I found this circular island that's south of Imbot Road. If you know Imbot, that's right past the elementary school in Catskill before it turns to Cementon, now called Smith's Landing. But there turns out to be this circular island off, I think it's Locust Point, they call it Green Point, where there was an archaeological dig, I believe. But it has an earthwork, and it's I went out there and canoed out there, and then I found out from my friend Evan Pritchard, Native American scholar, that it was called Pascua-Nagua, Mother's Breast. So and then I realized that that lines up perfectly with the clove, with the Catterskill clove. And then so the research kept pointing to, you know, maybe that was a place. Washington Irving talks about being a young boy and this Indian trader telling him part of that postscript tale while he's slowly moving up in the pre-steamship days up and down the Albany, the Hudson River, because he had never been through the Catskills. So that's kind of part of the hypothesis, is like, where did this information hit him? And maybe this boat was like right outside this island called Mother's Breast. And by the way, Catskill Point was called Wanatonka. Like, it was a circular island. It's now filled in, and that's where the Freightmaster House is. But luckily, Jesse Vetchen Van Vetter recorded this. And for those who watched the Black Panther movie, that's a variation of Watonga, or Wakanda is the name where Black Panther came from. But that's directly, it's a Sioux word, and Wanatonka is a variation of that, which just means like powerful spot, great spirit once again. So, you know, it's still, these traditions are just being borrowed and used. And, you know, just a small Black Panther trivia moment. But we had an island. It was circular before it was filled in. And it was also called Wanatonka, which is, interesting enough, a Sioux word.
Well, Matt, you always amaze me with your knowledge on this. I've been to your lectures before, and it's really put insight and made me look at things differently in so many different ways. And but, yeah, I think you've even talked about that, too, about the Panthers here in Americas. Before they're no longer here in the Americas, right? And you had talked about that with me previous, so I remember that. But you also, one thing I wanted to touch with you, you are going to be doing a sculpture of sorts Do you want to talk about that?
Sure, sure. Thanks. Yeah, that's another part. Really celebrating the awakening of Rip Van Winkle. What does that mean? It's now 200 years after this burst of inspiration that Irving had. And it's going to be north on Main Street. Somebody, a nice person, has offered a little corner lot. And it will be this awakening bust. This is a call to everyone who's got a old hammock that's falling apart or some mop heads that are in their closet or old pieces of rope. But I want the beard to be made out of recycled rope of any sort, any kind, even rope-like material. I'm going to have other people design the eyes, because the eyes are going to freak people out, but his eyes are going to be wide awake, you know, as they say, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. It will be a monumental bust, monumental meaning maybe, you know, 10, 12 feet tall. And there will also be something called a history mystery spot, and that's kind of a reference to this roadside attraction that we had on 32 near Carson City that was a gravity house or a what is it called, a vortex spot.
It was the mystery spot.
Right, it was the mystery spot. So I'm calling my, you know, glorified kiosk the history mystery spot, you know, where there will be a lot of these maps I've been working on with, you know, other people like Molly Dash, and just, you know, where it's just a place where you can look at all, you know, Beth upstairs at the library has a lot of amazing maps. Sylvia, of course, you know, she even helped in kind of instruct some of my mappage of the Catskill. So that will, and I'm picking 8/8/18 as a day when it will be finished. I'm kind of into those numbers. And then at 6/6/18 will be the event at Hilo also, which will be a musical send up. People like Frank Cuthbert, who's got a musical called The Sea of Nod, Brian DeWan, who always does great, you know, he can tell a great Rip Van Winkle tale any second of the day. And
yes, very good improvisation.
Yeah.
Improvisation.
We might actually, Laura from Hilo is excited. She wants to play a little nine pin. She's like, I've always wanted to bowl. This is a perfect place to bowl. So if you come early, it will be some nine pin.
Wow. And Lovejoy?
Lovejoy the Clown is, he almost tried out for the new Gong Show, but no, he's kind of, I don't even know. It's like he's a dream clown that I've never seen perform, but he might do some surrealist Dada-esque like send up. And my friend Maze and I are going to be writing a song. And I think Harry Matthews is also writing a song. So it will be, you know, chocked full.
It'll be great to see Harry again. Okay, so how can people get a hold of you? Like you even discussed the rope, you're going to be doing the sculpture. If they have any questions, how do people, is there some type of information you can give out, Matt?
Well, of course, if you see me at the corner of Summit and Main digging holes or whatnot, you know, stop by. You know, of course, mattbua@gmail, MATTBUA, that's my name, Gmail. You can always contact me that way. Come to the library tonight at Catskill or in Palinville next Tuesday at 6. Or talk to Petey Pete if you see him.
Thank you. So let's go. I want to get a little more detailed in the lectures. You want to give out those times again and the places that they're going to be at for everybody to know.
Yes. So tonight here at the Catskill Library, I believe it's 1 Franklin Street across from the sheriff's office. At 6 o'clock, and the library's open till 8, and I'm calling it a workshop too, you know, the idea of like a lecture where hopefully, you know, because there's a lot of people, as I said, Beth upstairs, you know, has spent a lot of time at Rip's Retreat, and that was a place, you know, that I'm curious to hear more about. I know Sylvia knows. I lost this one historical pamphlet that had a layout of Rip's Retreat. There was a train, and there was so-called little people that you could bowl with. And ironically enough, a little anecdote, I guess Thomas Cole and one of his many expeditions up, it was Sleepy Hollow Clove, but one of these times when they just decided to walk up the mountain because the last stagecoach left. And I think this is Roland Van Zandt's book, Catskill Mountain House, but he talks about that they stopped and got water at the Rip Van Winkle house. And then when he went, that spring or whatever has been completely covered up. So that's kind of just an interesting anecdote, is once again, the water and the forgetting of the water in the spring. And yeah,
Did you mention the Pranksters People's Museum? Did we?
Maybe you got that in the email, but there is also a nice, I'm going to be doing a project at the Prattsville Arts Center, and that's tied in with, well, there's a lot of prankster in the, you know, it brings up Washington Irving in the postscript, brings up the trickster figure. But this is a project. It's going to be shaped in the shape of a Native American coyote head, and there's going to be a celebration of the trickster figure. But real quick, Dame Van Winkle. People have a lot of problems with the story because of Dame Van Winkle. But what if, you know, A, she could represent England, because England was a problem for, you know, America before he went to sleep. And then afterwards, the Revolutionary War had happened, and then it wasn't a problem. Also, Zeus's wife, Hera, you know, is a shrew wife and tries to tail him. So, same as Coyote, the coyote trickster figure. He had a shrew wife that tried to tail him. So, you know, potentially Dame Van Winkle could represent England, the trickster figure. Figure's wife, or you know, some of the biographies try to, you know, make this statement that Washington Irving was homosexual. So there's that angle. Also, Washington Irving in Knickerbocker's New York wrote about Dame Nature thwarting all like attempts to control, you know, so he references Dame Nature, and she's this mighty force that, you know, will slap any suitor in the face who tries to kind of wrangle her down. So that's kind of another nice Dame Winkle twist.
Okay.
I kind of like that one better than the shrew wife thing. We're giving women a bad name here.
Well, but it's, yeah, I don't even know. And once again, I'm new to it all, but yeah.
I'm just joking with you. Yeah.
So we do, Matt has quite a bit here. We have the lectures going on in the Catskill Library today, and also next Tuesday in the Palinville. We have the sculpture going on. We have the music going on. And we also have the Pranksters People's Museums. We gave you the times and dates on that. If you need to find out any more information, you could also contact Matt at mattbua at Gmail.
Yeah, sure.
If that's available.
I would love, any input, help. Things like that. If you have it, you really want to make some eyeballs, I will take some, you know, hopefully the eyeballs will be interchangeable. So.
That just sounds funny to me. Anyways, thank you, Matt. It's always a pleasure having you here.